Lola Benge Tribble moved to Princeton from Nebraska with her parents and brother in 1913 at the age of 10. She married Herschel Tribble when she was 17, but remained close by her parents on Hatter Creek. On this tape, Lola describes the move to Princeton, school's days, chores at home, courting, and dances. She also talks about her life when Herschel worked in the woods and the neighbors building a schoolhouse for their children.
Get it lined out, and I'll tell you the best I can.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about again about why you came out here. You know, why you decided to come out.
Really, I would say it was from the people that had come out here before we did writing back. That's the only thing I can think of, and then Father's help wasn't too good either. Mm. I think he probably figured he'd probably feel better here, you know, than he did back there. The winters were so rough back there, real cold. That's the only reason I know, and I think that's probably enough. I don't know, Dick could probably give you a better reason than I could, because I was only 10 years old.
Yeah.
But to me, that's the reason.
Do you know why those first people came out? You know, what was it about Nebraska that made...
Well, I really don't know. I can't tell you that one, truthfully, because I don't know why they did, unless they just, I don't know what the setup was. And I can't tell you, unless it was some of McFarland's that came out here first, I don't know. I kind of believe it was, but why they came, I don't know. And then, of course, you know how it is when people goes from place to place, they write back all the good things, but they never tell you the bad things. And really, I don't think there was anything very bad about them to say about Idaho. I've always felt that way.
You said that your father rented when he farmed back there.
He rented places. He always rented the land and farmed back there while we was there. And they milked cows and had chickens and hogs and no sheep or anything like that. Just and horses and mules.
Do you think, were most of the other people also, did they rent? I was wondering whether that would be a lot of the reason they moved out here, because they didn't want to be renting.
I really don't know that. A lot of the people did rent back there. I do know that, and I suppose probably it's like it is here. While we own this place, but then Herschel doesn't farm it or anything. He rents it out, see, to somebody else, and I think probably a lot of them were like that. I just really don't know. I was too young to know where they really owned their places or not, but if it back there now, I imagine it's just like it is here, that the wealthier people, the better to do people, has bought up all the small places, and the people that had them just moved into town and just leave the big guy farming. And you know that's the way it is around Moscow, kid. Yes, it is. I think probably Dad's help maybe had something to do with it.
Were you pretty excited about coming out here?
I don't think I was actually too excited about coming. The thing of it is, most of the people, or the kids that I had played with, were already here, see, that I played with back east. And of course, that meant a lot to me. Naturally, you know, if it's kids you like and things, you want to be where they're at. And that meant a lot to me. I know I was sure tickled to death to get here. I thought I was, anyway.
It wasn't a quick decision that you made, was it? I mean, was it something that your folks thought about for a long time and planned it?
I really don't know. Yeah. I don't know that. I suppose they talked it over naturally, yes.
Yeah.
I imagine they did, but of course, you know, little kids, they don't pay a lot of attention to their folks a lot of the times, you know. And I suppose Dick and I was quarreling. We did a lot of it. I know that. Don't let him hear that.
What are your early memories of what Dick was like? Do you have any stories of things he...
No, I don't know if I really do. I know one time He was going with one of the neighbor girls. I don't know whether I should tell him. It wasn't anything bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I can't remember what we've done. I'm not sure what we threw rotten eggs at him. I'm not sure, but I believe we did. He remembers this, I'll bet you nickel. So we run in the toilet to get away from him because we knew old boy wouldn't come in the toilet where the girl was, but there was a board off on the roof. And he threw the bone in where this board was off and hitting me on the head and cut my head clear through my sunbonnet. I bled like a stuck hog. And I know Inettie, that's the girl Dick was going with. And we was afraid to tell Mom what we'd done to Dick, afraid she'd get after me. She wouldn't have said anything to Eddie, of course, but afraid she'd get after me for throwing rotten eggs at Dick. I'm sure it was rotten eggs, but Dick will remember that better than I do. That's one of the first things I remember about him. But Dick was always awful good to me, really. I know after we come out here and everything, there wasn't very much entertainment or anything like that, and he was awful good to take me to dances. Just real good.
So, you were telling me about the railroad car that your folks...
They rented box car. I think that's what they called them, honey. They're all boxed up inside. But I think you couldn't ship your stuff without somebody coming with it. And I think there was two men come through with that. Now, Dick could tell you more about that than I can, too. But I think that whoever had the stuff in the car had to pay for their tickets out here. Because, you see, they had horses on there. No cows. But horses, well, see, those horses would have to be watered and fed, see. So they had to have somebody in the car to take care of them, and we brought our furniture and everything out when we come. We didn't have a lot, but we brought what we had. And we lived in Princeton just a month before we moved out to the place here.
Did when your stuff was sent, did it get all the way to Palouse? Or where did it stop, or did the...
I think it come right to Princeton,
yeah?
Honey. Uh-huh. We stayed all night in Palouse, and you know, I can't remember why. I don't know. Maybe Dick would know that. I don't know why we stayed all night in Palouse, and I was telling you about when Daddy washed, you know. The sink was on the wall, and bless his heart, when he stooped over to wash, he'd been riding so long, he'd just run his head right in the wall. He'd tell about that and laugh, bless his heart. He was such a good guy, or I thought he was anyway.
Do you remember much about the actual trip itself, in the train?
No, I really don't. I know I slept quite a bit. And I remember that we brought lunch. I don't know what Mom put it in or anything, but all of them that came when we did brought lunches when we ate on the train. I remember that. I remember that, I think, plainer than I do anything. Now, I don't know why I would, but I did. And Dick had a broken leg, and then this cripple guy, you know, was with us, Farley. Dad said, I bet we was an awful looking mess. We got here anyway.
Most of the other people on the train, were they all coming out to stay?
Just passengers, honey. Just the outfit that we were with. I can't tell you for sure how many there was of us. Now, Dick would remember that better than I do. But it seemed to me like there was three families of us. Us and Bales's and Copeland's, I think. I'm not sure about Copeland's. I know that Mrs. Copeland's father came through with the car. Dad bought his ticket, I'm sure of that. And his name was Sharp, and we always called him Daddy Sharp. I remember that just plain as can be. And then Frank Meade, I think, was Mrs. Bales' cousin, but he had at one time been married to her sister. And they separated, and she was in Kansas City, and he was out to Bales's, and he came out. He came out with a car, I'm sure he did. I think it was. Come in.
You folks taping?
Yeah.
No. We ran through the tape and just went on and on talking for I don't know how long. There's no end alarm on this one.
Oh,
I'm getting angry.
remember, I was thinking about the trip out, and I was wondering if you remember the first time you saw the Rockies, or anything like that? No. Or just what your first impressions would have been,
I think probably one thing that we come through that place where they said Custer had his last stand, and it's up on a hillside. I do remember that. And outside of that, anything of importance or anything, I just don't remember. Of course, you see now, Dick was 18. And I don't have any memory of that. And if there's any other kids on the train, I wasn't paying any attention, only just playing, I suppose. You know how kids are.
So then you stayed overnight in Palouse.
Mm-hmm. Stayed overnight in Palouse, and then we got into Princeton about noon the next day.
Did you run around and see everyone that you knew?
Oh yeah, we did. Of course, I suppose they was all there at the train to meet us. I don't remember. I imagine part of them was anyway. But it was sure different than anything we'd ever been used to. You know, coming. Of course, that wasn't. It took us, I think, 4 days and nights. But nevertheless, it was a lot different than anything we'd ever been used to.
The traveling or
well, all of
being
it,
here,
all of
mean?
It, all of it really was different. Of course, I had ridden on the train before we come here. Mom and I made, I believe it was 2 trips to St. Joe, Missouri. See, that's where Dad's folks live. And we made 2 trips down there while I was little. Well, I guess they made 3, but I don't remember the first one because I was just a tiny baby, I guess, when they went down the first time. That's what Dick told me, so I guess I don't remember the folks saying anything about it, but I know Dick said that they went down there when I was, I don't think I'm about 2 months old. But Mother and I made 2 trips down there and back on the train, see, so I'd ridden on the train before. That wasn't new to me.
Do you have many memories of the time, just when you were here?
I remember singing and wrote about that.
So then you moved up around here, right?
We lived in Princeton for 30 days, and then my daddy bought this place off of Herschel's brother right up here. There's no house up there now. They had a house built, but it was just an old log house. And then we moved up there right away. And I walked most of the time to school from up there to Princeton.
You started going to school right away when you got here?
Oh, yes. I went to school right away just as soon as we got here. We got here on Saturday morning, and I think I started school Monday. And I went to school for that month that we lived in Princeton, and I walked the rest of the time. And this was all big timber in here when we bought. I think probably the biggest tree was ever logged off around in here, come off of this flat.
I was thinking about it, and I was surprised that your father was a farmer in general, and it surprised me that when he came out here, he didn't try farming very much, did he?
Well, no, I don't know how much land was in cultivation. Of course, they just bought 40 acres at that time. They later bought another 40, they was a little bit cleared up there, and most of it, I think, was in Timothy. And, of course, that was for a horse feed and cow feed. He bought a cow right away. And a few chickens. And we put a little garden in. But, they cleared some land, and, of course, logging was all different to them, too, of course. It was late enough in the season when we got here that they didn't start logging until the next winter, you see. They saw the logs in the timber and then pile them up, deck them up is what they called them, and then they'd wait till it snowed, and then they'd take them down either on a sled or what they called a goodell.
So, as far as you used to go to walk down to school and then stay there all day and then walk on?
Mm-hmm. Walk on. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, it was dark when we got out too. Of course, as a rule in the wintertime, they had just a half an hour noon, and that let us out at 3:30. Otherwise, it was 4 o'clock. And you know, in the wintertime, it's pretty near dark at 4 o'clock. Of course, I was scared to death in the woods. And the first year we was here in the spring, I don't know, I guess we started out to do something, and there was a big old bear standing up at the gate. I guess it was big, it looked big to us. We was both scared to death of it, but it didn't come any closer. Oh, I don't know, it was as far as from, a little farther than from here at the barn, I guess, from us, but that was close enough.
Were you expected to work around the house a lot?
Yeah.
Well, not...
I didn't do as much of it as I should have, I'll tell you that. I did help Dad, though. I helped him an awful lot. I was outside with Dad more than I was ever in the house with Mom. I plowed. And not very much, but I have plowed. And what they called old foot burners.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom and I would... Well, we had a neighbor that cut the hay. And then I'd rake it, and then Mom and I shopped it, and then we'd haul it in, put it in the barn. And Dad was up in camp at that time. Of course, I was about 15, 16, something like that. 16, I think, probably.
That took you a long time to do that?
No, there wasn't that much hay there, honey, just on 40 acres, see. And it wasn't always near all in cultivation either.
Do you remember what your mom's day was like? You know,
what her
day was like from getting up in the morning.
I would say actually a lot like it is now. It was just get up and get the meals and get your housework done, and then what extra you had to do, washing or ironing and things. It's just a lot like it is today, only you've done it the hard way those days. You packed your water from a spring or a creek or whatever it happened to be. You didn't have water in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have nothing electricity. You had a wood stove, both heater and cook stove.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it's just general housework like it is today, only you've got different things to do it with. You know, everything's electric now where they didn't. Let's see, I don't think I even had electric iron while Mother was alive. I don't believe I did. Yes, I did too. But I got my electric stove after Mother died. She died in 49. And I got my electric stove in August that year.
There must have been, I'd imagine that there were a lot of, you know, chores just keeping
Yes, but Mother didn't do the chores very much. Dad and I did most of the chores. I used to milk. I milked when I was a little tiny thing. I can't remember, I guess, when I couldn't milk. Oh, I suppose I can too, really. But I have milked pretty near all my life, or seemed to me like I have. Of course, I couldn't now. My hands are crippled up with arthritis. I couldn't milk now, but I used to milk. I know when we come out here, Dad bought this cow, and I didn't milk in the morning, but when he'd come in from work, when they were logging, I always had the cow milk. Of course, Mother milked too, but I did more milking than she did. Well, I say I did until after Herschel and I was married, and of course we didn't have very much stock. And once in a while I'd help with the milking, but Dad usually let the calves set the cows, see, and then, oh boy, he had wonderful calves to sell in the fall, see. And really, they didn't need too much. They sold a little cream, but it was really rough on them. They was getting to the place where hard for them to turn the separator, you know. Now they'd have electric separator. Those days it was manual labor to turn one. I know, because I've done it.
Mm. I was, oh yeah, you just mentioned that, that the first time you ever went to Moscow was in, it would have been 5 years after you got there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. 18, yeah. I wanted a winter coat. And, I don't know why we didn't get it in potlatch. But Dick was home. I guess Dad was still in camp. Because Dad, I don't think, Dad wasn't home, I know. And, Dick hired a man in a, he had a, was it a Model A? Or Model T, Model, I don't know. It was a Ford anyway, to take us to Moscow. And I never will forget that because it rained that morning and I would just, and of course the roads, you know, wasn't gravel like they are now, you know, just over the Moscow mountain. And, oh, I was just awful worried. I didn't think I was going to get my coat, but I got it. I even remember what Mom paid for it. I never will forget it. It was burgundy, trimmed in black velvet. It was a pretty thing. That was 1918.
You never had much reason to go there, huh?
Well, you know, the funny part of it is, too, I don't know how come Mom didn't try to get me a coat and potlatch. Because they had clothing there. They always had, well, I say always. Of course, you know, the potlatch store that used to be there burned down several years ago. About 10, 11 years ago, it burned down, I guess. I can't tell you the year for sure because I don't know. But it burned down. Of course, they've got another clothing store there now. But they called it the Potlatch Mercantile. And they just had everything in there. Shoes, and they had a meat market, and groceries, and hardware. And it was just a great big store, but several stores inside of it, see. Not different rooms or anything like that, but just different things. And then up overhead, there was a... They had apartments that they rented up overhead. It was a nice big brick building, awful nice. I don't know if they ever did find out what caused the fire unless it was faulty wiring. There's still a little woman that was in there. She and her husband got out with just their nightclothes on. In just 30 days, they lived up overhead in one of those apartments. Just 30 days. I guess it was just to the day he died with a heart attack. And she now lives in California in Alameda and she writes to me all the time. She was a clerk in this store and he worked at the mill. It was real pitiful.
I was gonna ask you too about what courting is like in those days.
What
courting? Courting is like.
Oh.
You know, what you did.
Every place you went, you walked. Mm-hmm. You didn't get in a car and go any place.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think usually the boys just went to the girls' home and spent the evening there. I know that's the way it was at our house. I know they're not as wild as some of them are nowadays, I know that. If I'd done some of the things some of the girls did now, my dad would kill me. He really would have, I'm not kidding you. I wouldn't have been here told the story.
So they just come over and visit you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do they, you know, invite you to dances and stuff?
Honey, there was no way to go. That is, I mean, like we was, you didn't have any way to go. Now, Dick and I went to the dances horseback, or we could walk to Princeton to a dance or something like that. But, of course, I guess probably some of the wealthier ones had sleds in the wintertime and nice horses, you know, and the sleigh bells. We didn't. Mm-hmm. We walked every place we went.
Do you remember any of the dances, what they were like, you know, what went on?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, they didn't drink like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was kind of funny. My dad always told me, he said, you don't have to dance with a man that's drunk. But he said, if anybody asks you to dance with him, he said, you better dance with him. he didn't like this idea. Some of them think, well, this guy, he can't dance quite as good as somebody else that you dance with. He said, none of that. But then they used to have dances around at people's houses, you know, too. They had a hall down here at Princeton where they danced. They used to have awful nice dances there. Another thing he always told me, don't you leave the dance hall. You know what? I never did. At night. Now the girls go out and drink, and well, that's fine. He said, don't you ever leave that dance hall. So, see, we had part of our life cut out for us.
You said once that when after you got married that you went up to Spokane.
Mm-hmm. We had our honeymoon in Spokane. We was married on Tuesday and we went up Tuesday and then came back Saturday. Mm-hmm. We went up on the train, came back on the train.
What do you think of Spokane?
Oh, we went to shows and ate out and slept in. But and then of course I had never been to Spokane. Now Herschel used to live there, see. But he showed me around. We went to parks in the daytime, you know, but it was in October and oh, cold wind blows. It was cold, oh gee. We went to a show every night. Of course, the movies were something new to me, too, because, well, I don't know. I suppose I've been to movies. I don't remember. I imagine I had. But I hadn't been to very many. Now that would seem funny to kids that, well, they didn't go to a movie till they're 16, 17 years old, you know, when they're raised on them.
Now, was Herschel working in the woods at this time? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He had been up to the time we was married. Then he came down and I suppose the 1st of October, I don't remember. We were married the 21st. And then he didn't work anymore that winter. Well, he took census, I believe, in January. That took him a month. And then he went up to camp in the spring. He and Dick both went up there and went to work in the spring. But we had a little house over here, oh, I don't know, mile and a half, I guess, from here. Maybe not quite that far. But we moved to ourselves right away after we was married. We had this little house over here. And then Herschel went up and worked till he probably come home in July, I don't know, that year. And then Louis was born the 14th of August, and then he built us a little house up here on this South 40, see, up here.
Would he be gone all the time? After he left?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Just come home for weekends and then go right back. I think he was home once and then I went to Beauville once. Of course, he had a brother and a sister-in-law that lived in Beauville, but we stayed at the hotel, but then we went to see him while we was up there, while I was up there. I went up on Friday and come back Monday morning, I believe.
Was that hard on you?
Was that what, honey?
Was that hard on you to be alone?
I stayed with my folks, see.
Oh.
I stayed with Mom and Dad, uh-huh. No, I really didn't mind it while he was gone. Of course, if I'd have had to stay by myself, I don't suppose it'd been nearly so nice, but I could go stay with Mom and Dad, you know. And then, after we got this little house built and moved into it, we moved our stuff over from the little house we lived in. They built a camp up here, and Herschel got to work up here then, you see. They built the camp right up here. Oh, what is it? 3/4 of a mile, 1/2 mile, I don't know. Just up the creek a little ways, anyhow. And that way he could come home for dinner, see, and they allowed him for his board. See, they'd pay him for his board to come home for dinner. Most men that worked at camp, you see, ate dinner there. Well, they boarded there, but Herschel boarded at home, and they allowed him for his board at home. I don't know how much he got. Maybe boarding all $100 to $125 wasn't very much, I'll tell you that. Wasn't $400, $500, $600 a month like they get now.
Did he build that house himself, or did he get a lot of help on it?
He built it himself. Hmm. He really is a pretty good carpenter. He built this one mostly by himself. Well, the buildings we bought, but from an old house, but he built this mostly by himself. And then when a work shut down one time here, Uncle Shorty was staying with us, and they built several houses around here.
Mm. Was that unusual for you?
I really, you mean for me to live there, or
well,
for the town?
Well, just for no, for it sounded like in general it was just a bachelor fair logging.
It was,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, whether it was unusual for you to be, you know, up there and for living alone.
Did you
home.
See that little shack that we lived in up there? Did he show you the picture of you guys? I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted stories. So he wants everyone he can get.
I don't know if he came all the way on the train with us from Spokane or not when we came down. And when we got off of the train here at the depot at Princeton, he said, "Well, if the first one's a boy, name him Pat." We didn't. Her sister liked him real well.
Hmm. Is that a pretty rough town, Beauville? Or you were outside of town? When you
I don't know.
There.
I don't know anything about it.
Hmm.
That's the dentist.
Hmm.
That's the first dentist Herschel ever went to. And he said he was rough as all he did out. I said, "Well, he shouldn't have been. He's sure nice looking." Herschel just looks at this book and looks at it and looks at it and looks at it.
Did your life change a lot when you got married?
I always had a coarse voice, huh?
Did your life change much? Is that?
Oh, my life. Well, I thought you said my voice. No, I can't say that it did, really.
Yeah.
You got it?
Still
taping, huh?
Yeah. Well, I can. You know, people being out there in the woods and stuff, being handicapped like that.
And actually, the world is full of people like that, too, really. It's pathetic, really.
Is this the only time when you lived up at Collins, the only time you lived away from, or right around here?
That's different, you being clear out from New York, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, you moved out from Nebraska.
Yeah, of course, my folks come with me. And that was quite a bit different, too. Herschel and Dick and Uncle Shorty had a job of cutting wood one time over here. Oh, I don't know how far it is. We walked through. We had Lewis and Rex both at that time. Lewis walked a lot of the way, but we had to carry Rex most of the way. And we walked back. I don't know how many miles it was. It seemed like it was a long ways before we got there. And it was quite a little ways, I guess, too, probably. But I don't remember how long I was away from the folks at that time.
You went up and just camped up where
they
were working?
They had a house up there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a house built up there, and I went up and cooked for the boys while they was cutting wood. And Mother had to have an operation during that time. I can't remember. It seemed like I was away from folks a month or 6 weeks at that time. And then when we lived up to Bobo, that's the only time I was ever away from my folks until they passed away.
You continued to live with them then, or they continued to live?
Well, yeah, they lived on one place. We didn't live right in the same house, see.
Okay.
But I could see them every day. In fact, Mother was here with us when she died. So I was kind of a mama's baby, I guess.
Seems like you had a pretty tight family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real close.
So did Herschel continue to work in the woods?
Did Herschel what?
Continue to work in the woods after you were married
for
a long time?
Yes, for several years. I don't know how many years. They run this camp there. The camp didn't run study. They had, let's see, one, two, three. They had either three or four campsites up here. But they might run a few months and then shut down, see. Then run a few months and shut down. And then he did. Dick was unloading logs down here at Potlatch and at the river. And Herschel got a job scaling logs and he worked down there then. And then he worked 1 year in the Forest Service. Then he got on the mail route, and actually he's on the mail route. Why, he didn't work no more in the woods. Well, he and Uncle Shorty carpentered quite a little bit between. Well, let's see. He was carpentering, I guess, with Uncle Shorty when he got the mail route, I guess.
Did you worry about him working in the woods? Just, you know,
not really.
Accidents?
You know, it's just something you get used to, honey. I worry 10 times more about our grandson up there. Sawn logs of an evening for his daddy. Of course, they got all these chainsaws, you know. And they're little trees. And I worry 10 times more about him than I did Herschel. But you know, you're younger and you're raising your family, and I didn't like for him to work in the woods. But still, you know, you gotta, it's something you can make a living at, see? And I think you get used to those things. Now, there was, I don't know how many men. Well, Dick had been hurt twice quite bad in the woods. And Herschel's had 2 or 3 close calls, but he never got hurt, really. He broke, had a toe broken. That's about all that ever happened to him.
How'd that happen?
Huh?
How'd that happen?
Well, he and another fellow were carrying a big plank. And when the fellow got ready to drop his end of it, he dropped it. And of course it was heavy, and it jerked it out of Herschel's hand and fell on it. On his foot and broke one of his toes. And, I don't know, I think you just get used to it. There was one girl, her dad was killed in the woods. I think actually where most of the trouble is in the woods, of course now the logs will come off the load lots of times and kill them, but I think where most of the trouble was in falling timber, a limb would catch in another tree and flip back and come down and kill him. Now there's several been killed that way, but I went to school with a girl. Her daddy was killed right up here, just half a mile from here. Him and the guy that stayed with him was cutting logs. And now I don't know when the tree fell, if it knocked the top out of another, and I believe it knocked the top out of another and come back and hit him in the head and killed him. He was a
So body. I guess it wasn't all that much more dangerous than chopping a tree down your backyard.
Well, I guess not really. The only thing is if you get careless. But, honey, you can cross the road and a car can run into you and kill you. Now, here, just, oh, how many years ago? Oh, I don't know. I read it in the paper. I didn't know her. No, I knew of her, but I didn't know her. She just is just on this side of Moscow, right close there to where Lewis's new home is. She went across the road to get her mail to the mailbox and the car ran into her and killed her. Of course, now, I can't help but think that must have been a little bit carelessness on her part. Either her hearing was bad or something, because, you know, if you just dart out in front of a car, it's pretty near going to hit you, because they can't stop just right now, you know. But
I know we got one son or grandson working on the RE, and I just worry about him. But one of the guys he worked with was electrocuted just here a couple months ago. And when you get that, there's no coming back. You're gone.
You want to tell me those stories you get about how
about what, honey?
How Dick got his name and how Shorty got his name?
Well, Herschel got the nickname, I guess. Well, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Herschel's nickname, too.
Yeah, it was Chummy.
Yeah.
Uncle Shorty called him Chummy. Now, where he got that, I don't know. Whether some of the kids in Pluse, they used to call Herschel Huck, too.
Huck?
For Huckleberry Finn, yes.
Oh, Huck.
Huck, uh-huh.
Huh.
But that was just, I think, two or three kids that did that. But I don't know where this name Chummy originated from, whether it was just Uncle Shorty's idea or what. But anyway, Uncle Shorty called Herschel Chummy. And he said, if you don't quit calling me Chummy, he says, I'm going to call you Shorty. So Uncle Shorty didn't quit, and that's where Uncle Shorty got his nickname.
It sure stuck.
Yes, it did. Uh-huh, you bet it did. And Dick was, my dad nicknamed him, I've heard my dad tell this, his name was Dickie Barlow. And Dick was crying, I don't know, something was wrong, and Mom was getting supper or something.
But you're saying your father's name was Dickie Barlow?
No, my daddy's name was David Lewis.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said that, he says, come over here, Dickie, I'll hold your words to that effect, and it just stayed with Dick. I don't know, I suppose if there was somebody there and heard it, why, they thought that was real cute. And that's how Dick got his name. I don't know if Dick even knows that or not. But my daddy told me that. I was curious how they come to name him Dick, you know, when his name is John Lewis. And that's what he told me.
So even he was just kidding when he did that, right?
Uh-huh.
He was just kidding when he did that.
Yeah, he was just kidding. Yeah, just teasing. Uh-huh. But you know, nicknames stay with you lots of times that way too. Now I don't know how the folks ever come to call me Babe, unless it was just because I was youngest, I suppose. I don't know.
Did you really not know your name?
Well, I did hardly not know it. Oh, the kids ought to call me Lola at school, but as far as at home, when I was at home, Mom called me Babe, and Dick called me Babe, and Dad called me Babe, and all the people that, or most of the people that come from Nebraska call me Babe, too. So really, that name stuck with me until Herschel and I was married, because Herschel never called me Babe. Well, I suppose he has, but then what I mean, for a name to stick with me, he never did. He always called me Lola. He said, I like the name Lola. He needed better, because he had to get used to it anyway.
Prohibition, like Sam's told me that it didn't mean a whole lot around.
I don't know much about it. I know there's always been liquor around, I know that, but as far as prohibition, I don't know much about it.
It wasn't a big deal, huh, whether you had liquor or not? I mean,
well, Herschel could tell you more about that actually than I can, honey. Because I never was a drinker. I still am. But I know that they made moonshine. I know that because I knew several of them that did.
What'd they make it out of?
Wheat, I suppose. Some of them made it out of fruit and stuff like that. I know Uncle Shorty lost raisins and stuff up here out of the kitchen. And he said, I knew they was making moonshine out of it. They denied it, but the kids lost their job over it anyhow.
Did a lot of people just have, you know, some kind of setup in their homes?
Not in their homes, honey, no.
Yeah.
I don't think they did. I think it was people that moonshined actually were people that was in the business and made it to sell, to make a living out of it instead of working. There used to be one up the creek here. I knew Bob where it was at, but I never was to it. I never seen it. I couldn't tell you anything about how they work or anything. I don't know.
Hmm.
And then they was down here in Onaway. There was two families, I guess, down there that made. Well, one of them they called Dago Red.
What'd they call it?
Dago Red. It was red. Oh, real dark red, pretty stuff. I never tasted the smell of it, not for me. I guess if you drank enough of it, you got plain sick.
Well, could you drink in Washington?
Did what?
It was the Idaho outlawed liquor before Washington, huh? Didn't
it? I really don't know. I don't know.
I was wondering, because they had a brewery in Palouse.
Yeah, they did have a brewery.
Which means that...
But now they had, not when we come here, honey, but they had Swoons right here in Princeton 2 years ago, but that was before we ever come here.
Yeah,
I don't know. Ooh, how many did Chris tell me? Was it three? I don't know. I won't say three, but I don't know. I may be all wrong about that, honey. I don't know. I know where that place is. Did you notice where that big store building is in Princeton? It is to your right, coming from Moscow in Princeton. That used to be a saloon. We lived in that house. That's where we lived in Princeton, 30 days in the front end of it before we moved out here. But
did you just walk into town, or did you know you were going to have that place before you arrived?
Yeah, we walked to town. Mother never done much of it. I did. If we needed a flower or something like that, that we either had a buggy or a wagon or something like that, you know, they'd go into town and get what they wanted. But it took you half a day to go to Princeton and back, you know.
Yeah.
Driving down with the horses. And they didn't have this flat road up here. We had to go around this way. Here, the road up here and go around all great big old hill. In the wintertime, you couldn't get over it or under it or anything else. It was terrific.
Yeah. You didn't go to town much in the winter?
Mom and Dad usually got a flour with the barrel, and then they raised a spud or something like that, and Dad always had meat. And we could carry the rest of the stuff up, coffee and sugar and stuff like that. You know, I went to town and carried lots of groceries up. I did after Herschel and I was married even.
Mm. But you went to school every day when you were going? I mean, you went to town every day when you were going to school?
Yeah.
How long did that take you to get in?
Well, I don't know. We figured an hour to walk down there. We usually left from about 8 o'clock. Then you see, when we got home in the wintertime, it'd be around, well, in the wintertime, they usually turn school out at 3:30, have a half an hour noon, you see. I've already told you that, but that would let us home about 4:30, you see. Then it was dark. It is in the wintertime, you know, about 4 o'clock. Then when our kids went to school down there, well, to Potlatch, you know, not to Princeton. Our kids walked to Princeton. We had a school up here, too, for a while when the kids were small. But
you were saying that that Herschel and some other people built that school?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. All donation work.
Hmm.
It helped on. Well, everybody that lived around here helped on it. Some of them have done the biggest talking they didn't do very much, but then you always find out. That's right.
So you just got together because you wanted to have a school nearby?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Potlatch donated the land. The Potlatch Company.
But and then they just worked on it when they had time?
Mm-hmm. I think they finished up about a year ago, so they can teach me that. Uncle Shorty helped on a lot too, because he was recovering, but he was lonely.
And then how did, was it essentially you people that then hired a teacher? Or
how did that work?
The county did.
The county leader, whoever hires the teachers, county, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they but took the, it over once you had it built.
Well, yeah, I guess you'd say that.
Yeah. Wasn't that formal, I guess.
Yeah. They just had one teacher for all 8 grades, so we had four different teachers, I guess, up here. I don't know how long they had school up here, but we had two teachers that wasn't too good that I remember of, and we had two teachers that were just crackerjacks. Mrs. Benjamin that lives over here, she was a wonderful teacher. I don't know how many years she taught up here. And then there was a little house just across the road from the schoolhouse. And they lived there. They were, Benjamins were from Clues, but they finally bought up here. But oh, she was a wonderful teacher. And then the first teacher we had was a good teacher, and the other two didn't amount to too much, I didn't think. Anyway, that was my opinion of them. Mm-hmm. And you know, the teacher that taught me first was a single man. I don't think anybody could find a better looking fellow than he was. Just husky, big husky, and he's gone. You know, you just, it don't seem possible. He was a lot younger than Herschel and I, but he's been dead for several years now. He taught here, I guess he just taught here one term. Then he had a brother that taught here. And Miss Benjamin, I think there was another good one taught here too. Mrs. Benjamin was an awful good teacher. Mm. But, and so was Lonzo Douglas, our first teacher. Mm. I guess the rest of them was good enough teachers, but I mean, they were my choice of the teachers that taught here. But this Lonzo Douglas finally went up into Alaska. I don't know what he did up there, whether he bought land or what, I don't know, but I heard that he passed away. Mm-hmm. Lewis and Rex went their first year term. We kept Lewis out of school till he was 7. And he and Rex walked to Princeton. Then we kept them out a year. Then they got this school up here. This 1 year they didn't go to school. Mm. And then they got the school up here. And then they went to school up here till I believe this next grade. And I think then they had to go to Princeton 8th grade. It seemed to me like I don't know. It seemed like they did. I don't know. Then, of course, they had to all go to Potlatch High School. You know, they all went through high school.
It's hard for me to get used to the idea of 8 grades in one room. And, everyone.
Yes, I think it
together.
Would be, because now, you know, they... Well, down here at Potlatch, I think they got a room for every grade. I think they have. And that many teachers and everything, and they had that new high school. I've been over there, been in it, I don't know, 2 or 3 times. I guess it's real nice.
Were the teachers pretty strict that you had? You know,
we had two that were strict as could be. And then it's just like it is everything else. Some of them's okay and some of them aren't, you know. This first man teacher we had was just real good, and Miss Benjamin was good too. She figured on being boss, and that's what you gotta be if you're gonna be a school teacher. I'm never a school teacher, but I know that. If you let the kids run you, and they know they can, they're not gonna learn a cussing thing. They won't. They just play all the time, and that's no good. But she was a good teacher. She's red-headed, but she was, and I just loved her. I just thought she'd all good. She had one of my kids, but I still loved her.
She what?
Paddled one of my kids, but I still love her. I still do.
Is she still around here?
Yes, they live right over here. Oh, I don't know how far it is. Instead of crossing the river bridge down here, that big metal bridge, you turn what would be to your right going back toward town, and they live up there, oh, I don't know, mile maybe, 3/4 mile, something like that.
Was she married when she talked?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was that unusual?
Huh?
Was that unusual?
Oh, no, I don't think so. And I never had a man teacher till I come out here in the... I thought he was going to kill Manny, probably should have. I was scared of him. Now, I'm not kidding you. Well, he's big as the side of a barn. Had a little snot catcher here. I was really afraid of him. He never did hit me or spank me or anything like that, but I was scared of him.
You stayed scared of him? You never got used to it?
Not really. I talked back to him a time or two. But it always seemed to me like if there was a hard poem to learn or anything at Christmas time or the last day of school, I always got my share of that stuff. And I asked him one time, I said, well, how come I always get them little hard pieces to speak? He said, well, for one thing, you learn them. And now I don't know any of them. I just learn them to forget them, I guess. But he was really good to me in a way. But just before we came here from Nebraska, well, one of the girls that come from Nebraska, before we did, she still lived down here, don't we? He threw the hammer at her, hit her on the ankle.
What did he do that for?
Oh, he's mad at her. I don't know. She wasn't minding or something. I don't know. That happened before we got here. And boy, her mother went up to school, and I guess she told him what was what in just a very few words. But, you know, he shouldn't throw the hammer at her. I don't know actually whether he threw the hammer at her or whether he just threw it down the aisle and it bounced over and hit her, because you know how those things scatter. So I don't know what happened, but boy, her mother went up and sure told him off. Poor guy, I guess he did not. Oh, he was a big man. He didn't have scary death looking. He was actually a fairly nice looking fella, I guess. Boy, he was a big guy. And then we had another teacher, man teacher, and he went into World War I. He was an awful good teacher. But he'd go to dances with us. I remember one time we went way up on Gold Hill to a dance up there. And some of the guys took a sled and had straw on it, and then they had quilts on top of the straw, and then of course we sat on the quilt. He was the biggest duck in the puddle. He went right along with us. And you would never know he was a teacher to be, you know, in the same company with him. And if he'd go to dances or anything, I don't think he was ever to dance that I was too, that he didn't dance with me 3 or 4 times. He just was a real good guy. And when he enlisted, while he was in school, he went right, let's see, it was the first year, I believe he went right after Christmas, seems to me like he did. And they got a little tiny woman in her. Well, she'd be a lot like my mom, little tiny thing, about yay big around the waist. And she was a county superintendent from Montana. And boy, nobody ran over her either. Oh boy, she was wicked too. She was real good to me, but she was sure a good teacher. We had some awful good teachers down here at Princeton, just real good. But this guy that would go to dances with us, he was an awful nice guy. I don't think he had an enemy in that whole school, and you know that's saying a lot with that many kids, you know. Everybody liked him. He was just when he was out with the bunch, he was just one of the kids. But when he was inside them four walls, he was boss. He was a big guy too. Red faced, he had a red sweater. And it couldn't have matched his face any better if he'd bought it for that purpose. But he was sure a nice guy. Awful nice.
I imagine that. Well, he's dead, too. Of course, she would have been quite a little bit older than I don't know how much older. Probably 8 or 10 years older than I was. But he's gone and has been for several years. He's got a sister that married a man down here. She used to come and cook for him. They were from Canada. And she used to come and cook for him. And she's dead, too. She raised quite a family. I don't know how many kids down here on that side of Pies, but she's gone to and had. She's been dead since 42.
Was the area around here, I mean, would you have thought of yourself as, I mean, would you consider this pretty much a community, you know, a small community?
Yes. Yeah, I think it would. I would consider that, yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, the people who lived right around here were your closest friends?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And they were real good friends, too. But they still are, but people just don't communicate like they used to. You know, it used to be if you wanted a bar of soap or you wanted to wash or you didn't have any bread or, just different things. Well, I'll go here and get it, or I'll go there and get it to one of the neighbors. You don't do that now. You jump in the car and go to town after it. I never borrow anything from anybody anymore. People used to do that all the time, you know. But I never borrow anything from anybody. And you just get out of the habit of doing that. You know, I used to borrow, but, you know, you've got ways to go get it, and if you think, well, if I need a loaf of bread, well, I'll just go get it. Of course, I usually bake my own bread and keep it on hand, see? I don't know, last summer. Is this on?
Is it?
This little gal over here, she wanted a loaf of bread. All I had, honey, was just a slice or two in the bread drawer, and so I called her up on the phone, and I said, all I've got is...